broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for January the 24th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our one of two and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful, restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Yes, indeed, last week we were alive all 6 days. On the Sabbath we rest as the good Lord told us to. And we're back ready to rock and roll for another six. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing fantastic. And a quick recap on Saturday's broadcast. We had a very unique guest on for 2 hours. His name is Dale Hutchinson. And he has a podcast. And he says, we are here to inform the public and you about how history is affecting us today. Check out Dale's podcast, ladies and gentlemen. It's at coffee-time-again.com, and he has some very unique shows. And Dale, believe it or not, is a Convention of the States supporter. Sam Bushman, yours truly, is not. But watch us agree to disagree agreeably, would you please? Because this is kind of how we can work this out. We don't have to agree on everything. We don't have to get rid of everybody and just heave-ho the guy that we disagree with something on. We can work together, folks. CallForCivility.com is a website that I put together on this very topic indeed. We can set aside our differences when we disagree. We can work on things we agree on. We can be agreeable even when we disagree. We can be kind and respectful and dignified and appropriate regardless of, hey, the divisions they've created amongst us, right? Yes, we can. We also talked with Dale, who is a recovered, he says, alcoholic. How is an addict different than an alcoholic? He says there isn't one. What is meant by recovered? We talked about that. And he talked about there's no difference between alcohol and addiction. They're all addictions, folks. Addicts, alcoholics, same thing. But since alcoholics are, you know, addicted to a, quote, legal substance, then it's different, they claim. It's not true. And, you know, they say once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Once a drug addict, always a drug addict. He says that isn't true. If you don't drink anymore, you can be recovered. That's an interesting concept. Well, anyway, he's been a chemical abuse counselor for over 24 years. He was a chef and a whole lot more. And we applied those discussions to the state of mental health in America. And we pointed to real solutions, ladies and gentlemen. You got to turn to God Almighty if you want real healing, if you want to be completely recovered. Why? Because the idea of completely recovered, of healed, is biblical. That was our one of the broadcasts. We continued with Dale in hour two. Wide-ranging, special, extended interview continued with Dale Hutchinson. And we talked about what is a constitutional conservative? Is it simply the rejection of socialism and the progressive movement? Or is it so much more? I believe it's so much more. How does history affect today's world? We dug into that a bit with Dale. We talked about the IRS outsources security, online security to a private company. Video selfies will be required for some functions on the IRS website by this summer. Shame on them, but it's going on. We also talked about the doomsday clock is staying very close to doom, they say. And the world remains stuck in a very dangerous moment. And I say the fear-mongering must stop, ladies and gentlemen. I realize that they're trying to look at going to war with Russia, and they're trying to do... We've been at this for a long time, ladies and gentlemen. Always at the brink of war. Always. And you got to ask yourself the question, why? Why can't we avoid foreign entanglements, as our founding fathers advised us to do? Why can't we back away from the military-industrial complex? Because we've got fake money. That's why. And when you have fake money, the dishonest money scenario, ladies and gentlemen, a fiat currency allows them just to run around and wreak havoc globally with no end in sight because of the unlimited funding they have. We got to ratchet them down with a constitution and use constitutional currency if we want to rein in these shenanigans, ladies and gentlemen, or else we'll always be close to the doomsday midnight clock. That's what fiat money does. Okay, it's always a doomsday with fiat money. Don't you get it? We talked about the importance of real education in America. We talked about the serious issue of human trafficking. And we talked about Dale wants to move to Belize. Why? We also talked about Amazon and a Facebook company. What do they call that? Meta or whatever it is. They have spent more money in 21, that's 2021, for lawmaker lobbying than in any other year, $20+ million each. That's $40 million from just two companies. We talked about the American Airlines flight returns to Florida. Yeah, woman refuses to mask up was the problem. Yeah, it was a flight to London, ends up back in Miami. And my response is, why penalize all those other customers? Why do you turn the whole plane around? What good's that going to do? You think that's going to help anything? What a disaster. We're making the dumbest decisions related to COVID you could possibly make. First off, 90% of the masks people are wearing are bogus anyway. Secondly, you're going to turn the whole plane around and penalize all the other 100 plus how many ever passengers because one lady won't mask up? My gosh, just land at the new place, and if you want to talk to her afterwards or do whatever you're going to do, but my goodness gracious, folks, have we gone? We're just stuck on stupid with this. We got to nullify now, ladies and gentlemen. We talked about the federal gun control agenda. 10th Amendment Center says we got to push back and stop gun control at all levels. We also talked about our predictions for 2022. Operation Truth Tellers, our greater numbers will force the mainstream press in bed with government with the truth. Thank heavens for truth tellers in America. You know that? All right, there you have it. That was a recap of the broadcast that took place just on Saturday, 2 days ago. Incredible, wide-ranging interview with Dale. Now, Dale's an interesting guy. He's over 71 years old. He's a retired man. He's on oxygen. He, just does his podcast for fun and for educational purposes, research, unique broadcast. Very interesting guy and an interesting podcast. And I interview some of those people because they have small shows. People don't know much about them. But you know what? We can highlight the efforts of patriots all over the country doing a great job using their talents, using their God-given gifts of talent to bless those around them. And that's kind of why we highlighted Dale. All right, without further ado, Lil Nelson, campaignforliberty.org with us. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Glad to be here, Sam. Thanks for having me.
Man, have we got a full deck today. You want to start telling Congress stuff, don't you?
Of course, man. Usually, I guess. Well, so John McCardle of the Campaign for Liberty posted a big thank you note for everybody who called their U.S. senators last week, and I wanted to make that note first of all, because as you remember last week, we asked people, call the Senate, and insist that they stop this undermining of the filibuster, right? I mean, the Dems wanted to throw out the filibuster. Well, on the U.S. Senate floor, on a vote of 48 to 52, we won. The good guys won. 48 to 52, we voted to reject changing the Senate filibuster. Not only did
and let me be very clear about that, Lowell, just for a quick second.
Sure.
I'm not for the way the current filibuster works. I'm against it because I mm-hmm. believe it rewards certain senators above other senators. It makes super powerful. You got almost senator, first class senators and second class senators out of the way. It's manipulated to work now. Although I'm not for getting rid of the filibuster, because I don't believe the majority should rule. We're not a democracy here. So I don't mind that high bar. But the way the filibuster used to work as intended by the founding fathers is drastically different from the way it works today. So I do believe we need, quote, filibuster reform, if you will, or change back to the way it was intended. That doesn't mean that I want to get rid of it. I bring that up because me and Dr. Bradley had a big discussion about this, and I want to be very clear. I support the higher bar, if you will. But I don't really support the way it currently works because, again, it creates winners and losers or powerful senators and, quote, less powerful senators. And I don't like that. I think we really need to go back and give the states the ability to elect their senators by state legislatures as we used to have it. I think when we basically violate certain checks and balances, then we create other problems. So I would return the filibuster to the way it was in the Founding Father era. In the beginning, very rarely used, but powerful as all get out when necessary. I would have state legislative bodies electing the senators rather than the people, so it wouldn't be a pure democracy, and the states would have a seat at the federal or the general government's table, if you will. I think there's a lot of changes that we need to return to. However, I'm still glad the filibuster did not, or the break of the filibuster, whatever you want to call it, did not pass, because I believe that high bar needs to be set. But I wanted to set the record straight on that. Lowell?
Yeah, I totally agree, Sam. And one more change we're at to implement is go back to the Constitution, because if the Congress would follow the Constitution, then the Senate filibuster wouldn't be used the way it is used nowadays. It's because Congress ignores the Constitution, and because the states refuse to enforce the Constitution upon the general government that they themselves created, that we have this flip-flopping effect. You know, if you didn't have the filibuster, then Congress would flip-flop back and forth on policy matters. You know, Democrat policy for 4 or maybe 8 years, and then Republican Party policy for 4 or maybe 8 years. And it flip-flops back and forth. And so you have one, you know, you have Trump coming in and policy that one way, and then you have Biden coming in and policy set the other way. So you're exactly right, Sam. If only we'd return to the Constitution, then we wouldn't need this filibuster. Sam?
Ladies and gentlemen, we got a couple of more points on this with Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. We'll do it all in seconds, but the idea here is tell Congress to stop the Patriot Purge. John Micardell. We'll talk about it more in seconds on your radio.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, with us. We're talking about the good work we've all done calling our Senate to reject the disbandment, if you will, or the manipulation of the filibuster. That's good news. But I submit to you that it's really wrong how we have it now. We have these first-class and second-class senators. And I understand that Congress, even according to the Constitution, has the right to make up their own rules. I get that, ladies and gentlemen. But just like executive orders were never designed to run the whole government and to make law and to do all these things. They were designed to help the executive branch carry out their day-to-day duties. And so executive orders have their place, but they're very limited in scope and they've been misused. Same thing with this filibuster. You've got these internal rules by the Senate, and they have the right to make up their own rules. But here's where I believe it's on track and when it's off track. When they make up rules that govern their body, that's fine. But when they make up rules that reward one senator, and so you have the senior senator from so-and-so and the junior senator from so-and-so and the Senate majority leader and the Senate whatever, you start to create these different classes of senators, where if a senator's been there for a long time and they're the senior senator, and or if they're the majority leader, they've got way more power than everybody else there. So see, that I believe to be a perversion of the manipulation of the rules, of the intentions. And so that's why I clearly am so against the filibuster as it currently stands, because I believe that's what happens. And, you know, it's really problematic when we do that, because then if you're from a small state, you're already weaker than a big state, if you will, population-wise and everything else. But then if you got your junior senator, and then your junior senator isn't on any committees because they don't like what he or she says or thinks, or pretty soon you've got this senator that really has no power at all. That's problematic, to say the least, ladies and gentlemen. But we got to tell Congress to stop the Patriot Purge, this incredible column by John Micardell. And at least 19 federal agencies, Lowell, such as the Department of Justice and the Department of Health and Human Services and everything else, they're starting to compile lists against employees who are against the clot shot. This is seriously problematic, because the persecution begins, Lowell.
Yeah, because the administration cannot get what they want legislatively, they're now pursuing administratively, meaning, you know, because they can't push Congress to get to do what they want. They're now just pushing the executive orders to get what they want. And one thing they want is they don't want dissidents in their workforce. And so they're making a list of people who are opposed to the clot shot. And they're going to cull those people from the agencies, right, from the federal workforce. Out of the millions of people that work for the general government, you can expect that in the near future, after they make these lists of so-called dissidents, then they're going to begin letting them go. They're not going to renew their contracts. They're going to fire them, basically, over time, because they don't want these good men and women working for them, for the general government. And so these federal agencies, they don't want constitution-loving people in them. And so, Sam, I will continue to pray every night for good men and women who will stand for truth and righteousness at all levels of government, local, county, state, and general, because we need good men and women at all levels of government, regardless of what the adversary does. Sam?
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Understand that we, the people, have a role to play in this republic. And I'm telling you, if we don't play our role, the checks and balances are upset. And, hey, you got to work on this together. Me, you, everybody's got to spend a little bit of time on liberty if you want it to be preserved. You know, that which you give attention to has value. That which you ignore eventually, out of sight, out of mind, what happens, huh? All right, the Utah legislative body is in session. I call it the reign of terror for 45 days, Lowell. But this is where we get involved, right?
It certainly is. No man's purse or wallet is safe while the legislature is in session. Somebody famous said that one time, and they're right. Because you never know what's going to happen up there at the legislature, and so it's imperative that we citizens keep an eye on what they're doing. And our Utah legislative website is very helpful for that. You can track a bill, and you can see where it is in the process. You know, it starts in one house, goes to committee, goes to the floor, goes to the other house, goes to committee, goes to the floor for votes. And, you know, opportunities to kill the bill abound during all of those stages or those steps. And so if citizens wants to stop something, then they have great opportunity to do so. Now, I just looked over the first 100 bills over the weekend, Sam, just briefly, not deeply. But
so hold on a minute. How long have they been in session?
Just since last Tuesday. So what, 4 days?
Yeah, so we got 4 days. They've already got 100 new law proposals, ladies and gentlemen. Can you imagine? Well, this is what I mean by the reign of terror and abuse. God, in 6,000 years, put 10 commandments together. And then he said, and the two great commandments, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, might, mind, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Now that hang up the law and then the Ten Commandments. So you got 12 guidelines from God and 4 days, and your bureaucrat thugs have already put 100+ in the hopper, and they're just getting started, Lowell.
That's right. I just looked at the first 100 because they go all the way up to 250 on the House side, up to 150 on the Senate side. And yeah, they're just barely getting started. So there's at least 400 bills there that I could have looked at. I only looked at the first 100. And there were several that caught my eye. And I just wanted to alert people to them here in the state. Now, I realize we have listeners all over the country, Sam, but yeah, this is happening in your state just as it is ours. And so I'm just simply underscoring the importance of your taking a look at what's happening in your legislature, in your state. But right here in Utah, we've got the ConCon bill again, sponsored by Ken Ivory again. How did he get back in there, man? Just grates me. But anyway, he's demanding the Congress call for a convention of states to fix all of the problems, you know, as though our politicians would adhere to a new Constitution any better than they do the current one. It's just foolishness, right? HB 16
well,
would create...
Well, whether they adhere to it's a whole second discussion. The fact that a new one would be better in the first place is pure poppycock.
Yeah, exactly. HB 16 would create a nexus between Utah and the Department of Homeland Security of the general government and allow the governor to order the National Guard into your home pursuant to some emergency response declaration by the department, including forced vaccination or some other emergency, right? They can dream up any emergency they want, and then the governor can order the National Guard to take whatever steps the Department of Homeland Security deems appropriate. It could include the confiscation of property, could include kidnapping, could include extermination of a class of citizens, whatever they deem dangerous to society, Sam. They already want to lock up everybody who doesn't take the class shot and say, oh, you're a danger to society, and so you can't leave your home, right? Over half the people polled last week here in Utah thought that was a good idea, Sam. Crazy. Crazy talk. So,
well, I don't understand how we even get there, meaning how they even continue to push this, as if somehow we're going to basically solve our problem with more laws. Again, I refer to the Lord's 12 and then our hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. And I mean, think about it. We've been doing 500 bills per year for literally years and years and years and years. And it's not doing any good, folks. We're just getting the more laws we have on the books, man-made, bureaucrat, whatever, the worse we are. The further we are from what matters, the further we are from the supreme law of the land, the further we are from the morality and the people that are, all these things are required, the further we are, folks, every single time. I mean, it is insane. But we continue at it, and then if I bring up anything different, they're like, Sam, you got like a third head. What are you talking about? And I'm going, people. So I don't really know what even to do anymore.
Well, 73 of our House representatives voted for this bill, HB 16, last week, Sam. It's in the Senate now for consideration. That's how bad it is. That people don't think. They just unthinkingly vote for this bill that they're told is a good thing, and in embedded in the details is the devil. And there's going to be heck to pay for this type of a bill going through one of these days. Mark my words, Sam.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to vote them out. Oh, there's a problem with the vote. I understand. We're working on that too, Lowell.
That's right. Secure Vote Utah. It's ongoing. We got petitions out there. Walking, people are walking them around, gathering signatures. We need your help still. 150,000 signatures, not easy to get in just 4 weeks, but it's a huge task. But fortunately, the pain is short-lived, right? And so I'm telling you, we had a lot of people on this, thousands of volunteers out there gathering signatures. But if you aren't one of them yet, please sign up at SecureVoteUtah.org. Sam?
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org on your radio. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
The lead investigator for the January 6th House Select Committee, Tim Heafy, has been fired from his position as the University of Virginia's counsel by the state's new Republican Attorney General. While Democrat lawmakers in Virginia claimed the firing was political, an Attorney General spokesman told the Associated Press, the Attorney General wants the University Council to return to giving legal advice based on law and not the philosophy of a university. End quote. The State Department will begin evacuating families and non-essential staff from the U.S. Embassy in Kyiv this week. Pentagon journalist Jennifer Griffin on Fox News says President Biden may send U.S. troops to the region in support of NATO allies.
What I'm reporting tonight is that Biden is weighing U.S. troops to those NATO allies.
The United Kingdom's Foreign Office announced Monday it, too, was withdrawing some embassy staff and dependents from Kyiv. We are USA Radio News.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if, like a lot of people, you just have a plan you're not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. It's a Christian healthcare sharing program. There are more than 400,000 members now, and they love it. In fact, MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate compared to that of health insurance. And MediShare really is the gold standard when it comes to healthcare sharing. It's been around more than 25 years. Members have shared more than $4 billion of each other's medical bills. Plus, MediShare is for you. It has saved its members billions by advocating on their behalf. Best of all, the typical savings for a family is around $6,000 a year. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. MediShare has a 98% customer satisfaction rating, and you are invited to be part of it. Call now. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Taiwan's Defense Force said roughly 40 Chinese warplanes flew into its air defense identification zone on Sunday. It should be noted the intrusion came a day after the United States and Japanese navies conducted a joint exercise in the Philippine Sea. In a statement, Taiwan's military scrambled its own jets, issued radio warnings, and activated air defense missile systems in response. Former California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger was in a car crash.
At least one person was injured in a four-vehicle crash in Los Angeles Friday, including a vehicle driven by Arnold Schwarzenegger. The actor and former California governor wasn't injured. Details are still emerging on what caused the crash. Authorities say the impact was so severe that the airbags in Schwarzenegger's SUV were released. Police say alcohol and drugs were not involved in the collision. So far, no one has been charged in the incident. From the USA Radio News Pacific Northwest Bureau, I'm Wendy King.
We are USA Radio News.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, riding shotgun on the broadcast today. Yeah, at least 19 federal agencies, such as the DOJ and the Department of Health and Human Services and everybody else, compiling lists of their employees that object to the clot shot. They're basically trying to create a database of dissonance, ladies and gentlemen. If you believe in the Constitution, if you're a Christian, you'll eventually be on that list. Write it down. They're coming after the Christians, ladies and gentlemen. I've been the most clear on this since, 25 years ago, since I got on the radio. They're coming for the Christians, folks. This New World Global Order agenda is about tyranny. And the reality is that, hey, the war in heaven continues. Satan was thrust down back in heaven. He got kicked out. The battle's been on ever since, and this battle is nothing but a continuation of that. Tyranny versus liberty. You're in the middle. Where do you stand? Utah legislature's in session, ladies and gentlemen. That's scary as all get out. They've already put hundreds of bills in the hopper. It's scary as all get out. But Secure Vote Utah aims to go back to paper ballots and put integrity back in the voting. To learn more, securevoteutah.org. And if you, my fellow Americans, are not in Utah, start a secure vote, whatever your state is as well. Would you please? What good are retired people? Interesting question. What are they, unnecessary eaters there, Lowell?
Well, some people think of them.
I don't say that seriously, ladies and gentlemen. Don't misunderstand the point. It is the name of a column. Lowell?
Yes, it is. This website I stumbled onto last week when I was researching the Abraham Clark story, it's at constitutionacademy.weebly.com, And it has a number of stories about the founders and the framers, and so I just find them so inspiring that I want to share them. This website's maintained by the Constitution Academy in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And today I chose a column that asks the questions, what good are retired people? Now, I'm not retired, Sam. I'm getting close. I feel as though retired folk are some of the greatest people on earth. But let's read a paragraph about three retired people today. And as I read, you try to guess who I am describing. Okay, here's the first person. This young lawyer retired from active practice at the age of 31 to pursue his hobby of scientific experimentation. He left the firm that he founded, made provisions for the firm to cut him a percentage of future receipts. As a secondary hobby, he got involved in politics. So he left his firm, right, to do scientific experimentation, then dabbled in politics. He eventually became governor of Virginia. He retired from that job after 2 years. Later, he resigned as U.S. Secretary of State. He retired as President of the United States after two full terms. And at the age of 81, he became the President of the University of Virginia. His name, Sam? Thomas Jefferson. So,
wow.
He retired at 31, Sam. And look at all the good that he did in the world.
Man, I'm looking at that in the rearview mirror, sir.
Okay, here's the second gentleman. A newspaper man retires at the age of 41 to also pursue scientific experimentation. He sells his share of the newspaper he owns to a shop foreman. By the way, he started that shop at age 16. After retiring at age 41, he finds himself elected to the state assembly, and he was named postmaster. He becomes a militia commander. He spent many years in England representing his state of Pennsylvania. He has only 2 month rest upon his return from Europe when he's named to the Continental Congress. And less than a year later, he's appointed as ambassador to France. 10 years later, at the age of 79, he's elected governor of Pennsylvania. 2 years after that, he attended the Constitutional Convention, 1787, there in Pennsylvania, and this newspaper man who wanted nothing more than time to experiment on the scientific stuff, of course, is Benjamin Franklin. How's that for a retired folk? and finally, the third gentleman, an army colonel. He resigned his commission in disgrace after surrendering his fort to the enemy. The general that was assigned to finish the campaign, which the disgraced officer had begun, hired him back. But then the general's efforts were worse. He marched his troops directly into an ambush, killing most of his men. The colonel again resigned his commission for health reasons at the age of 26. Sam retired at 26. He becomes a farmer, determined to bring scientific methods to farming. He also dabbled in politics. He was a happily retired farmer for 15 years, and then at age 42, he was sent to represent his state at the Continental Congress. To his shock and dismay, he was named commander of all military forces. Through 8 long, grueling years of war, victory is finally achieved. He retired his commission again at age 51, returned to farming. For 4 years is all. Then he reluctantly served as the president of the Constitutional Convention of 1787. Then as president of the United States, he retired from that job at age 65 after 8 years. A year later, he was again named commander of all U.S. forces when a war with France was threatened. He is finally allowed to resign his commission for the last time at age 66. Who am I talking about? Of course, that army officer was George Washington. So, folks,
the greatest general ever known, by the way, ladies and gentlemen.
Looking at these three retired folks, all of three of them retired to pursue science. Politics was a hobby, but all responded to a need when the need was greatest and most dire. So let me repeat that last sentence. Every single one of them, Sam, responded to a need when the need was the greatest and the most dire. Well, folks, do you see a need to serve your country right now? Not only do I believe the need is great, but I believe the need is dire. We just need your help. I don't care if you're retired or not, because we need retired folks. Look at the example of these three retired folks. We welcome your help in whatever way you can serve in the sacred cause of liberty. Sam?
What good are retired people? I would say this. You know what? Retired people in the history of the Republic are the people who make tyranny run. They make tyranny shudder. Okay, that's the kind of people we need in America today. Do you see a need to serve your country today is the primary question here. And what we're talking about is an incredible website, Lowell, called constitutionacademy.weebly.com. Constitution Academy, really an education source, right?
That's right, Sam.
Okay, and their mission, by the way.
Oh, go ahead.
Their mission, to educate the general public about the Constitution and the founding of the United States of America. That's their whole goal, constitutionacademy.weebly.com, Lowell.
And I'll be bringing an article from this website every week for the next few weeks, Sam. It's so worth it. I want people to know about this site. The information that they provide there is just a tidbit of all the good that was done during the founding and the framing era of our country. And it's good to remind ourselves who these men and women are, what a great impact they had on the course of our country. Well, the same is true of us, folks. We can have an impact on the course of our country, of our state, of our county, of our community. And so it's inspiring to me, Sam, to read about, talk about these great individuals who are just simply acting in the cause of liberty, and such a difference that they made for liberty right here in our country, Sam.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Greg Reese created a video at lourockwell.com. And man, this is hard to report on. It's very hard to believe in America that, you know what, you would have enemies such as this. But sadly, in many ways, your government, in bed with the scientific community, in bed with the first do no harm physicians at the top level. Now, there's a lot of dissenters, a lot of people standing for truth and freedom and liberty and calling a halt to the con game. But really, when I read this kind of stuff, it's hard for me to believe that it's really real. How could people be so diabolical? How could people be so evil? Lowell?
If what he is saying here is true, Sam, then surely the love of man has waxed cold. You know, that comes out of the Bible, out of Scripture. We know that the love of man will wax cold in the last days, right? And we believe we're living in the last days. This article exemplifies that waxing cold, I think, you know. So but basically, Mike Eden, former head of respiratory research at Pfizer, everybody knows the name Mike Eden, but he's been in the news for months. But he, along with other researchers, has sourced the VAERS data on vaccine death and injury in the U.S., a database of well over 750,000 adverse reactions caused by the Moderna, Pfizer, and Janssen vaccines. These vaccines have been deployed in different batches called lots, and this has allowed Yeadon's team to reverse engineer Big Pharma's COVID-19 deployment agenda in the U.S. It's this deployment agenda that we're decrying here, that the evil going on. All of their research is published at a couple of websites. One is called howbadismybatch.com. The other website is howbad.info, Sam.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to dig into this, but by the batches of vaccines, they can tell who got the sickest. Targeting red states is what we're finding. This explains a lot, Lowell. We'll talk about it in seconds on your radio.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Ladies and gentlemen, two websites we're referring to right now in light of this, in my opinion, groundbreaking research. Howbad.info is one of them, and howbadismybatch.com is the other. The documentation is on lewrockwell.com. It's a video that points to some research, etc. Ladies and gentlemen, Greg Reese does the video. And the idea here is evidence that the U.S. government, ladies and gentlemen, and this is criminal, folks, targeted red states with deadly batches of vaccines. This is very, very, this points to beyond Nuremberg trial stuff. This is criminal, ladies and gentlemen, if this is being done. And now you also then start to say, are patriots being targeted with either vaccines or, and you got to ask the next question, if they created this coronavirus in a lab and then intentionally released it, do they have different strains of the coronavirus they can give different people? Can they target and infect? There's a lot of patriots that have been critical of the vaccines that are dead. Are they getting the same batch as other guys that run around and say, man, I'm asymptomatic. I don't even know that I'm sick, but they say that I am. Kind of an idea. How does all that happen, lol? But if there's different batches of vaccines that have different extreme results, there might be different batches of even the coronavirus itself that have a similar reality. This is very scary, lol.
It sure is, Sam. While one company is deploying a lethal batch of the vaccine, the other two are deploying harmless ones, you know, placebos. They create this scientific environment to perform what Greg calls dose range finding, or the maximum tolerated dose for each specific batch. The timeline shows that each lethal batch deployment is preceded and followed by a quiet period, allowing them time to establish their baseline before the next deadly batch is deployed. So private leaked documents from the CDC show a list of expiration dates, and only certain lots are included on that list, the very same lots found to be highly toxic in Eden's database, which of course makes sense. There would be no reason to put an expiration date on a saline placebo, right? They only need expiration dates on the deadly ones. Well, this mode of deployment allows governments to direct deadly batches into specific populations, such as the red states that you mentioned. And analysis of the number of dying people per 100,000 vaccinated in the 50 states shows that the overwhelming majority of deaths are happening in red states. Some red states, Sam, are experiencing 11 times more vaccine deaths than other states, but on average, red states are experiencing twice the number of deaths and vaccine injuries as blue states. After ruling out other possibilities, Yeadon concluded that red states received at least twice as many of the deadly batches as blue states did. They are killing people who voted against the New World Order's Build Back Better Great Reset, while at the same time they are endlessly flooding the borders with unvaccinated foreigners, and it's happening right now. So I went to this website, Sam, howbad.info, because I wanted to take a look at it, right? And they do have the lots, so you can click on the one page and get the Pfizer vaccine lot numbers that have been associated with deaths and disabilities and injuries in the VAERS database And I think that's interesting, because if you know somebody who got the clot shot and they happen to know which lot they used, they could look on this list. They could go to this website and look to see whether the clot shot they got came from one of these toxic lots. And I hope, you know, all the good guys, I hope that they, if they got the clot shot, I hope that they did not get a shot from a toxic lot. But they can go to this website and find out. 5% of the batches appear to have been, their data, Eden's data, suggests that 5% of the batches appear to have produced 90% of the adverse reactions, Sam. That is very serious.
Well, and it gets worse, because on one hand, it proves that they have the ability to kill at will through these batches under the guise of mandated protection, which is what we're kind of looking at here. But the other problem is this: if they're giving people a placebo, think about this, and they're telling you now that you're fully vaccinated. So let's say that Sam gets the placebo, Lowell doesn't take the bait and take the shot. Now, I didn't take it either in literal, but I'm just giving you this example. I'm against the shots and will not take them. Let's be clear. But let's say that Sam took the shot and Lowell didn't. Sam and Lowell, neither of them are vaccinated. But they're giving me permission now to run around as if I'm vaccinated, giving me special privileges above Lowell as they divide us into first class vaccinated, second class not vaccinated, when we're really not vaccinated at all because we got the placebo or whatever. This is seriously, if they can prove this, Lowell, this literally takes down your whole worldwide government discussion. I believe it'll never see the light of day, and it'll never come to fruition, though. It's kind of like how we know Fauci's so evil and created gain-of-function research proven in Congress by Rand Paul and others, but yet, hey, you can't touch Fauci. So you won't touch Bill Clinton for rapes. You won't touch Fauci for his criminal activity and death and destruction, even though we may prove the facts. We'll never get it to take flight. The media's against us. The government's against us. But again, this just adds more and more and more to the point where there is all your First Amendment rights are violated. You know what? They'll shut you down on Facebook and Twitter and everywhere else for your freedom of speech or freedom of the press on this. If you're not careful, they'll use this to stop you from going to church dishonestly. If you're not careful, you'll never have a redress of grievance. And if you peacefully assemble, they'll literally infiltrate your peaceful assemblage and run it off the rails and blame it on you. Okay, so literally, they're destroying everything we hold dear, including our right to a redress of grievance, which you'll never get on this one, I predict, Lowell.
It also gets worse, Sam, because they're, the people who own the GMO companies, genetically modified food companies, genetically modified seeds, and so forth, they are hoping, it's my opinion, they hope to be able to genetically modify foods in such a way as to administer the clot shot through our foods. I think this is a much bigger, more daunting task for them to do, but believe you me, I bet they have been thinking and working on this for years, Sam, whether they want you to eat, you know, food that you buy in a grocery store that's been genetically modified such that it will, you know, quote-unquote immunize you against the SARS-CoV-2 virus. Well, you and I both know that we don't want the clot shot in whatever form, whether it comes through a hypodermic needle or through genetically modified foods. We don't want it. But if they're able to put it into GMO foods and sell that in the grocery stores, there's going to be a lot of people consuming that material unwittingly, unknowingly, ignorantly, and it's that's deception. That's fraud at its worst, Sam.
And if there was a sickness, a sickness quotient, you know, right now you got across the country, you've got cost of living index or whatever. If you had a sickness equivalent to the cost of living index, a sickness quotient or whatever, you would see it start to rise all over the world, all in parallel with this dishonest deception. Evidence that they're targeting us, evidence that they're killing us, evidence that they're pretending people are vaccinated when they're not, evidence about all this stuff to the point where the sickness meter would rise accordingly, ladies and gentlemen. Be very, very aware. We don't want their drugs. We don't want their vaccines, but they're forcing it on the world. But what we do want is safe and effective solutions such as ivermectin, but no, Lowell.
Well, because some reporter one day said, well, that ivermectin, that is horse dewormer. You know, he called it, that's what the media calls ivermectin, is horse dewormer. And they do that because they don't want you to use what is has been effective against the SARS-CoV-2 virus, you know. And so when SARS-CoV-2 first surfaced, you know, doctors around the world discovered that ivermectin was effective, particularly in India, by the way, lessening the symptoms of COVID, right, saving lives. They sent these ivermectin kits all over India, like 250 million of them or something, and in one county, just the COVID, SARS-CoV-2 virus just went away, right? And so this ivermectin, it caught on like wildfire, being a way to battle effectively the SARS-CoV-2 virus, but of course the powers that be didn't like that because they didn't want sick people to get well. They wanted to kill people, right? And so they began calling ivermectin a horse dewormer. Well, the fun fact that I found, Sam, was that the horse dewormer was actually a winner of the 2015 Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine. It was awarded to both William Campbell and Satoshi Omura. I don't know these people. They're scientists, probably, or pathologists. I don't know which. William Campbell and Satoshi Omura received the Nobel Prize in 2015, right? That's just six years ago for this groundbreaking research with ivermectin. Because why? Because it benefited human beings. It turns out that it was used as a dewormer in human beings. Well, and not horses. That's why it won the Nobel Prize, because it benefited humans, not horses. It saved millions of lives, Sam. And in fact, it's on the World Health Organization's must-have medication list because it's safe, effective, and inexpensive. So yeah, it's called horse dewormer now, but it won the Nobel Prize just 6 years ago for its positive impact on human beings.
And this just goes to prove the power of the media and their dishonest agenda, ladies and gentlemen. Think of what they've done by their lies and their manipulations about it just being a horse dewormer. I mean, they had to just act like, oh, you're going to take horse poop? No, ladies and gentlemen, ivermectin won the Nobel Peace Prize, or the Nobel Peace Prize, in 2015 for its benefit to humans, not horses. And it's on the must-have list, ladies and gentlemen. Saving millions of lives. It's safe and effective and inexpensive, but they're shutting it down. You got to ask yourself why. Why? Well, because there's evidence that they're targeting people and killing people intentionally. That's why. This is your government, folks. I hate to say it, who's become an enemy to the people. I don't know if I'm more worried about my government or more worried about this guy that rolls into Kroger. Now, there's a good guy that went into Kroger, and there's a bad guy that went into Kroger, right?
That's exactly right, Sam. Love these good news stories. This is posted by Epic Times. They have a new edition they called Inspired or Inspiring. Anyway, it's kind of like the old shows that I used to listen to as a kid. The Paul Harvey, Now You Know the Rest of the Story series, where he talks about the good in the world. I love hearing about the good in the world. So this man goes into a Kroger store and snatches the purse off an 87-year-old lady. Well, standing nearby was a young man, a young black man, by the way, who saw this thief steal the purse, snatch the purse from this 87-year-old white lady. And so he ran after the thief, tackled him in the parking lot, held him down and until the police came and recovered this 87-year-old lady's purse for her. That is a good man, a good Samaritan right there.
Not only is it a good man, but it just goes to show that Americans can stand shoulder to shoulder with the sacred cause of liberty, jettisoning the divisions that they've perpetuated for decades on us. We're smart enough to stand shoulder to shoulder for liberty, for freedom, for safety, for prosperity, for service to one another, and service to our God. For Lowell Nelson and Sam Bushman, thanks so much for a fantastic hour full of hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. All at your fingertips at libertyroundtable.com and lovingliberty.net. Spread the word, make it a great day, and choose the right, will you? We declare this nation shall endure. And we also claim God save the Republic of the United States of America. Thanks, y'all.